Let's open our Bibles to chapter 5 of Ephesians. We're only going to look and read one verse of Ephesians 5. But this morning, what I'd like to do is give a biblical encouragement for every husband here to encourage his incredible wife, and if you have children, to encourage your children's incredible mother. And doing that from a biblical basis. Now, it's Mother's Day, and Jeff, you know, was so funny saying, you know, we have flowers for sale, but a lot of plans have been going on in people's lives. I mean, there are cards, and there are dinners, and there are gifts. And I thought about how it's wonderful that once a year we have this grand time of honoring and extolling our mothers. But actually what the Bible says is that the real gift is year-round. It's when we honor and treat them the way the Bible says we are to do so. And that is the most encouraging thing. So Ephesians 5, as we think about the best way to honor the person we love, and the Bible says the best way that would be is to treat them the way God has told us to treat them. And all of us know that God is very specific about how mothers and wives are to be treated biblically. And I was going over this and studying all week, and Bonnie says, what are you going to speak on Mother's Day? I says, oh, you really want to know? She says, yes. She said, I do. She says, I pray for you. And she says, what angle are you coming at? And I said, well, I decided instead of the normal angle of talking about how mothers are just about walking on water like Mary and the Proverbs 31 woman that is just stellar, I said, I thought instead of making all the women kind of go, oh, man, that's such a high calling, you know, I'll never be that. I said, I thought I'd pick on the fathers. And so she says, good. And so this whole purpose of this is how you, as a husband, can encourage your wife on Mother's Day and every other day around the year, and how you, as a godly husband and father, can encourage the mother of your children if you'll just follow what the Bible says. And really, God places that emphasis on the husband. So God's plan for husbands and fathers is clear in Ephesians 5:25. God wants husbands to love their wives and to love the mother of their children for a reason. God's plan is so simple and it's so clear. If you can have children seeing this kind of love, a father loving the mother, the children's mother, and a father loving his wife in this way, children experience the Christian home. Did you know the sorrows of this world could be so diminished if this was followed? If husbands really loved and treated their wives this way, and if children really saw parents that related to each other in a biblical way, it would just lessen some of the countless woes that our world is going through because of strife and family breakup and everything else. So the focus of God's plan and design for marriage and family is very simple. And the description of his plan is very short. It's in verse 25. You can see it right now. In verse 25 of Ephesians 5, God says that the incredible marriage and family that he wants us to have starts with a man who will encourage his wife in one very powerful way, by loving her the same way Christ loves us in the church. That is God's simple plan. And God says when that's operating, when husbands and fathers act that way in the home, it changes the whole dynamic and flavor and tone of their home. Well, this is God's plan, and as we read this one verse, it comes with the acknowledgement that this is God's plan. And every one of us, in one way or another, are somewhere short of that plan because we humanly can't do this on our own. And so this verse tells us that if this is God's plan, that if we ask for his grace, and if we surrender to his will, that's what he wants to accomplish through us. And when the Lord accomplishes this, because this is his plan, and this is often where we are far from it, when he accomplishes that in our lives and families, he gets all the glory, and people take note that God has done something. Ephesians 5:25. Let's see his plan. You're in your Bibles there. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. That's short. That's simple. That's powerful. Let's pray for it. Father, I pray that every man here, if he's not married, that this would be his goal if he ever has the opportunity and privilege of being married. If he is married and he knows you as Lord and Savior, that he would say, today, I renew my desire to be this kind of husband, to be this kind of man in my home. And I pray for every woman that if she has a husband that knows you and he is not living this way, that she would heed what your word says in 1 Peter 3, where you say that without a word, a wife can help a disobedient husband come to the proper manner of leading and loving her without a word by her example. And I pray that we would commit to this, that we would have at Calvary Bible Church biblical homes, biblical families, biblical marriages, biblical husbands that love as you love, O Christ, and biblical wives who will follow the leadership of the man that you have chosen to be the leader of their life. Lord, I pray that all of us would calibrate our expectations and desires to your word today. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God's plan for husbands and fathers is very clear. It's very simple. It's just a handful of words. But it starts with the born-again saved husband surrendering to that high calling. And it is high, and it is hard. In fact, I was 27 years old when I married Bonnie, and marriage became the hardest thing I'd ever done in my life. I had trampled all over the world. I had preached all over the world. I had smuggled Bibles into the communist and Muslim world. I had been in jail and all kinds of other things. I never had gone through anything as hard as standing in front of everybody I knew and loved at a wedding ceremony and having the pastor say, that is what you're promising to be. You, and he looked at me, you know, this little young kid, you are promising to love her as Christ loves the church. That's the high standard of Christ. That was hard. Do you know what's harder than that? Raising children and letting them see that lived out. Parenting with that perspective is even harder than just a marriage. And so this is very hard. And as believers, all husbands are representations of Christ. That's what it says. We're supposed to be a living representation of Christ's love for the church in the way we relate to our wife, and the children follow that example. When I see a home that has conflict, and many homes have conflicts, if you go back and trace, it's kind of like if your printer's not working, you check to make sure the power cord's there, and you check to make sure that the connection is there. That's what you do. You check the connections to see if they're plugged in. And when there's conflict in the home, usually there is a father that is not seeking every day to renew that high calling he's called to love his wife as Christ loves the church. And there are not children that are seeing that. And that brings conflict in the home because there's dissonance when the husband doesn't fulfill the very simple plan that God has for him as a husband and father. And actually, if you look at, just look a few verses down in chapter 6, verse 2, it says that children are to honor their father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with them. But do you know why they are brought to the place of honoring their father and mother? Because they see this representation of Christ. And they say, Dad is treating Mom when he's tired and when he's had a hard time at work and when he's going through all these, you know, struggles. He treats her in such a loving, sacrificial way. I want to honor that. Now, not all children are perfect. We never got any. We had eight. And so you must have to have 10 or so to get perfect children. But children learn to love and honor their mother when they see the power of the Father living out this Christ-like love. And so children who see dads loving their moms the way that God planned are marked for life. By the way, I never saw this. I think back in my family, do you know, if you want a description of my family, my dad choked my mom. My dad knocked her out. I've seen my mother unconscious. I mean, that's how I was raised. But what that made me desire was to have a marriage like the godly people in our local church we attended. And they're the ones that prayed for me and said, did you know what? They would come and comfort us kids when my parents were fighting, and they'd say, you know what? your parents are Christians, but they're not living the Christian way. You can have a godly home. And I remember one dear, dear old fellow that would come to our home, and he would sit with us kids, and he'd say, your parents' behavior does not impact what the Bible says. It just is hard on you, but it doesn't change God's standard. And so children who see their dads and moms loving this way will be marked for life. They will actually have witnessed a biblical marriage, and most likely they'll want to honor their mother, as Ephesians 6:2 says, because they saw that. And so, fathers, you have a very, very big responsibility. And each of us dads will never get to this destination or goal unless we have a plan for getting there. And the plan is every day you wake up and towering over you, men, is this call that you encourage your wife and the mother of your children by you loving her that way. And you say, but I'm down here, Lord. And it's like everything else in life. We repent of where we are and say, Lord, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. And I ask by your grace for you to give me the strength and a new beginning to start that way. See, the thing about a Christian marriage is, you know, a lot of people get divorced so they can get a fresh start. In a saved marriage, you don't have to divorce to get a fresh start. By the way, that doesn't work. They don't get a fresh start. Their problems follow them into the next marriage. Do you know what Christians have? They have a new beginning every day. Every day, husbands and fathers can say, Lord, I want to renew my allegiance and surrender to your calling for me to love my wife in front of my children with Christ-like love. Well, godly husbands are encouraged to love and to lead. And what it says, if you back up to Ephesians 5:22, I want you to notice something. This Christian family is predicated on a husband doing what he's called to do, but it's also incumbent upon a godly wife to do what verses 22 to 24 say. And you know what I see when I'm, you know, in troubled families, following the cord, trying to see what's wrong here, you know, and what is unplugged? Do you know what I often see? Verse 22, 23, and 24 isn't happening. Notice what it says. Wives, submit to your own husbands. That's the leadership thing. The word submit is hupotasso. It means to line up behind him. Only one person can be the leader of the family. It isn't a shared leadership, and it isn't a female leadership. A biblical family is led by a man. And there are many Christians who the wife, because of her endless hours she spends reading Christian books, 70 to 80% are bought by women, because of all the Bible studies she's been into, because of all the classes she's been in, all the tapes and DVDs and everything else, she is so much more spiritual than her husband that she assumes the most spiritual one is supposed to lead, and she just charges forward. And you know what the Bible says? The Christian home doesn't work that way. The church doesn't lead Christ. Christ leads the church. The husband is to lead the home. And what we have in America is a passive male syndrome where men with these super spiritual wives that are dynamite out front are just taking more and more steps back. It's causing the dissolution of a godly home that you see around us every day. So wives are to submit. And that word means line up behind your own husband as to the Lord. So you don't line up behind him because he is Billy Graham, you know, or you know, John Piper or MacArthur or something. You line up behind him because the Lord says you're supposed to follow him like you follow the Lord. And you follow him even if he's not this godly, stellar, living out this, if he's down here somewhere. And 1 Peter 3 says that you live it yourself, and it will be the Lord will remind him what he's not. It says without a word, women are supposed to win their husbands. And I was telling first service that the book of Proverbs says that the woman who perpetually reminds her husband of what he's not doing, the book of Proverbs compares it to a drip of water. Drip, drip. You know what it says? A man would rather dwell outdoors in the elements than inside with a drip, drip. You didn't do that. Didn't you hear the sermon today? You're not doing that. When are you going to start? I thought you were going to read the Bible to our family. I thought you're supposed to pray with me. Why aren't you doing? Didn't you hear? I need to get another tape for you. Men are supposed to be one without a word. by the lives of their wives as they do this, as they submit to their own husband as to the Lord. And when you do that, the Lord will take care of them. And by the way, he can do a much better job than any woman ever could. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. So a female-led family is a denial of the headship of Christ the church, because they're saying, no, I'm going to lead the church. I'm going to lead the home, just like, and by the way, a lot of those women also want to lead the church. And that's why, look at the profusion of women pastors and women elders when God says they are not. See, you're living through the disobedience of this all around us. And the scriptures say this is God's plan. And God's plan is that, verse 24, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So, men, the key to encouraging an incredible wife is to be this kind of leader. And to every day say, Lord, she knows more than me, she's into this more than me, she goes to Bible studies all the time, but I'm called to be this, and I'm going to obey you, and by your grace, I want to live today. And it's just like we follow the Lord. Here's the Lord, and here's his church. Are we all constantly just connected to him and living, you know, fiery first century kind of lives? No. We drift away. That's what Revelation 2 and 3 is all about. All the churches had varying degrees of struggles. But what we learn is, no matter how many steps, no matter how many weeks or months or years you've gone away from the biblical pattern, it's only one step back. You can be 5 years away, and it's one step back, and that step is to repent and return. And so today is just a call to encourage husbands to follow the plan in God's word, allow the power of his grace to empower them by their spirit living within. And God has clearly revealed how simple it is. We're just supposed to love them like Christ loves us, which is constantly forgiving and giving us a fresh start, and lead like Christ leads us. Christ leads us by coming and seeking and finding us where we are and compassionately helping us back on the path and then saying, come on, keep leading me. And that's how we lead our homes. We don't plant ourselves and say, I'm the boss, here I am, follow me. That's not how Jesus did it, and that isn't biblical. So encouraging husbands, number one, love with sacrifice. If you look at verse 25, it's very interesting. Ephesians 5:25, husbands love. The word love there is agape love. It's sacrificial love. You know what that means? It is the love that comes prompted by the Spirit, that's not emotional, that's not this friend, you know, best friends kind of stuff. That's phileo love. That's supposed to be there too. But we're commanded to have this sacrificial love. In fact, three times. Look, it says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives. Verse 28, husbands ought to love their own wives. Verse 33, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular love your wife. Do you know why it's repeated three times in almost as many verses? Because it's very hard. It's very hard, and what happens is this sacrificial love is here, and we drift away. And that's why we have to repent. And this Mother's Day, one of the greatest things you could do for your wife is just to say honestly to her, I heard God's plan. You know where I am. I ask the Lord today to help me be this way. And your wife will do a internal hallelujah, okay? And then tomorrow, do you know what you're going to have to do when you get up? And say, oh, Mother's Day, yep, that's what I'm supposed to do, love and lead like Christ. Okay, Lord, I repent and I want to. And did you know every day we get a fresh new start to live like Christ? How do we love our wife with Christ's love? Just real quickly for you to think about, and I won't give you a Christology, but if you studied the gospel, you'd find out one thing Jesus did with his disciples was he constantly was taking them aside and spending time alone with them. Everywhere Jesus went, everyone wanted him to feed them and heal them and raise them from the dead and, you know, calm their storms. And so this massive crowd, numbering in the tens of thousands, used to follow him around. So what did Jesus do? He shows us the first way that he loved his disciples and his church. Jesus would come apart alone with them and spend time intimately talking with them. And the first thing, the way we love our wives with Christ's love is we give her our emotional intimacy. A husband will encourage his wife as she sees and hears that he cherishes her. And God's blueprint is for husbands to cleave to their wives. Jesus showed that with his disciples by pulling them aside and leaving the crowds behind and just spending time with them. And that emotional intimacy is one of the deepest needs that a wife has. Now, she can get along without it if you haven't given it for a long time. But if you begin pursuing that in your role as the leader, God is in charge of warming, softening, melting her to become the way he designed her to need that emotional intimacy. Christ gave it to his disciples. Christ offers it to us. He says every day he's waiting to meet with us. That's what Revelation 3 says. I stand at the door and knock. I want to come in and eat with you. I want to be all alone with you. That's what our devotions are about. We spend time intimately with him. That's what a wife needs. Not for you to read the Bible to her, per se, but for you to emotionally pursue intimacy with her, cleaving to her. Give her your emotional intimacy. Jesus also, in John 13, humbly served his disciples. Humility should be our goal. Do you remember what Jesus did at the Last Supper? He girded the towel around him, knelt down, and washed their feet. He didn't lecture them on their lack of humility and their proud, hard hearts. He demonstrated it. See, the way that you encourage your wife is not to be the fountain of lecture, but to pursue intimacy emotionally. That'll shock her. And then to show her that humility is your goal, the way you'll lead, that you will lead as the servant, that you don't bark the orders, that you lead the way. You know, do you remember your parents used to tell you can't push noodles? You know, spaghetti can't be pushed, it can only be pulled. That means led. You lead by example with your humility, and humility is your goal, and show her that. And finally, practice transparency. That means that you talk. You know what Jesus was always doing? He's always saying, did you know my father at this point? I'm going to the cross. I'm going to die in Jerusalem. They go, no, no, Lord. Yeah, I'm going to die in Jerusalem, but I'm going to go to heaven, but I'm going to leave my Holy Spirit with you. Did you ever notice how transparent Jesus was, always telling them what was going on? Transparency. Sharing your heart, letting, you know, one of the great problems I have many great problems, but one Bonnie points out to me quite regularly is, I think more than I say. You know, I'm a professional speaker. I talk all the time. I mean, I've been talking since a little after I got here this morning. Every person I see, I'm talking and questions and everything else. So when I come home, I don't like to talk. I think. And I'll say, okay, honey, we're going to do this. Remember, we're going to their house for dinner tonight. And she said, oh, she said, you didn't tell me that. I said, yes, I did. She says, no, you thought it, honey. And that's one of my main, she'll sit down with me and say, tell me everything you've thought about telling me. And I'll sit and say, you mean I haven't told you that? I haven't told you that? I haven't told you that? And see, this idea of transparency is that we need to get all those thoughts out. And we need to share them so our wife knows Jesus led the disciples with transparency, with communication, and that needs to be our habit. Well, I'm going to skip the end, and those of you that are doing the slides, go all the way to praise as her gift. And here's the last verse, Proverbs 31. You knew I'd bring up Proverbs 31, right? I want to show you, go to Proverbs 31, because many of you may have missed my favorite verse in Proverbs 31. In fact, when I was a newlywed, the man that counseled us told me, he said, you'll hear all your life about the Proverbs 31 woman. Why don't you be the Proverbs 31:28 husband? And I thought, what? And I read the whole 31st chapter as I was doing my marriage preparation classes, and I hit that 28th verse. And it says, her children rise up and call her blessed. And look at the end of verse 28. Her husband also, and he praises her. You know what Proverbs 31:28 says? Give your wife praise as your gift. Many people talk about the Proverbs 31 woman, but few men ever strive to be the Proverbs 31 husband. Shouldn't we practice this grace till it becomes part of our daily habit? What this means is that Proverbs 31:28 is the only scripture I've ever found in the Bible that describes the way a godly husband speaks in public about his wife. That means he doesn't criticize her, he doesn't make jokes about her, he doesn't compare her to other people, he praises her. And usually if you praise your wife in public, you've practiced in private. And that is probably the single most powerful way to transform your family. When your children see a husband that honors and praises his wife at home and in public extols this gift God gave him, it's unbelievable. Are you doing what God says? Are you praising your wife in front of your children? That is the way a godly, tender servant leader leads. It's hard. It's this high and lofty goal. But that's how Christ loves the church. You know what he says? He says, you are my chosen ones. I'm going to give you the morning star. You're going to sit with me. I'm going to give you. And he just praises us even though we fail him. He praises us for obeying and following and doing his will. Husbands, God commands us to give a gift. You can give her the card, you can give her the flowers, take her out to dinner. The rest of the year, praise her. Model Christ's love. Sacrifice for her. Every morning, wake up and say, Lord, I'm back to the way I'm so used to being. I repent, and I want to have a fresh start at your pattern for me. I'm going to love my wife like you love the church, and I'm going to lead her like you lead the church. Patient when the church isn't following, patient when the church is going the wrong direction, and coming down and encouraging her to follow and to respond to me. And that's what is grace. So this Mother's Day, you want to have an incredible wife? Love her like Christ loves the church. You want to encourage an incredible mother? Praise her in front of your children. And at home, let them see that you realize how far you fall short, but you repent and you say, Lord, that's your model. My failures don't change your model. I just repent and want to be having a new beginning with your model. Let's bow for a word of prayer this morning on this Mother's Day and ask for grace to live this way. Father in heaven, I thank you for the privilege of loving and serving you all of our days. Now, that's not how we were wired. We were wired to love ourselves and serve ourselves. And so salvation gives us a new beginning every day to repent of our flesh, of our self-bias impulse to go our own way, and to ask you to crucify us and to help us begin again loving and following and obeying your word. And especially this morning, I pray for every husband that he would just give his wife today the gift of saying, I heard it, and I know I fall short of it, but that's what I want. Pray for me, encourage me. I want to love you and lead you like Christ loves and leads the church. And Lord, I pray for husbands that they would have that new beginning every day, that they would not be discouraged by the failures, but rather repent and return. And it doesn't change your plan. No matter how many times we fail, you give us a new start. So I pray that the families of Calvary would be struck with biblical husbands and fathers that love you, that sacrificially lead, that are emotionally, wonderfully intimate with their wife, and that they praise her, and that children get the opportunity to grow up in a Christian home and model that all their days. And we'll thank you for what you do by your grace through your Spirit. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. God bless you as you go.